You read the Tuscaloosa newspaper this morning. You would have seen or you would have heard one of the articles says, relax. Local experts say your bank account is safe. All of a sudden, the failure of the California bank, the IndyMac bank last month, one of the largest in history, caused only a depression-style run on the institutions. And so they say to everyone, it's okay. Don't get upset. Everything's okay. I approached the message this morning saying everything's not okay. Because when I approached the message this morning, I'm mindful of Dr. Billy Graham, and he said that inside of the church is one of the greatest evangelism fields that there is. And I'm almost mindful of saying that I want you to look around. I want you to look at that person on your right and that person on your left and ask yourself the question, is that person going to be in heaven? And then ask yourself the question, will I be in heaven? Because what we're about to enter into is something that I cannot approach except from a broken heart. What we're about to enter into is what's going to happen. And if I were to set the scene for you just a little bit, it's kind of, we're looking at the seven seals. We're looking at the four horsemen. We're looking at the apocalypse. And somehow, the reality of this, how do we break through that? We watched a movie, one of the Christian movies, about the second coming, what's happening during the tribulation and something like that. And when I got through with the movie, I said, so? It was kind of like just scratching the surface saying, that's not really what it's going to be like. The rapture occurs. One of the horrible thoughts that I had this morning was, the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we who are alive shall be called up together and be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be forever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But who's going to be left behind? Is it going to be your child? Is it going to be your mother? Is it going to be your father? Is it going to be your grandchildren? Is it going to be your neighbor? And the fact is, this day is coming. I preface this message this morning by saying this is not a feel-good sermon, okay? And I guarantee you, the message that I'm about to preach will not be preached in the greater percentage of the churches of the United States today. I guarantee that. You just open up the TV, you watch it, and you see what's being proclaimed. What I'm about to share with you is truth. And I share it with you from a broken heart this morning. Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. The Scripture says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When I begin to approach this message this morning and thinking about these words, I've also got to think about our God. And the fact about the matter is that our God is a loving God. So He says for us today, I want you to come and see. I want you to see that which is about to avail. But when you see this, you got to approach it from an understanding of the nature of God. Look with me in the book of Nahum. Nahum. And the reason why we're going to go to Nahum, some of you will say, where is that? Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. It'll take you just a moment to find it. It's one of the minor prophets. And we say minor because that's the size of the book. It's only just two or three chapters. But I want you to look inside of this and see two natures of God. The first nature I want you to see is the nature that God is love. And He said, in fact, He says, "Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love." But then I want you to see another nature. Nahum chapter 1, verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elamite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way with the whirlwind, and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebuketh the sea, and He maketh it dry up on all the rivers, and Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, the flower of Lebanon, languisheth. The mountains quake at Him, and His hills melt, and the earth is burned at His presence, yea, the world, and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before His indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. But with an overrunning flood, He will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness will pursue His enemies. Nahum. Two focuses. Focus one, the love of God. Focus two, the wrath of God. So therefore, as we are approaching this, we are mindful that just a few weeks ago, we talked about the lost planet. We talked about the title deed, and we talked about the Lord Jesus, and we said, who is worthy to take the shield? Who is worthy to unleash it? And we know that Jesus Christ, and Revelation chapter 5, verse 7, He said, "And He came and took the book in the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne." He is worthy. Why was He worthy? Because of creation. He created this world. He sustains it. Why was He worthy? He was worthy because of the cross. Why was He worthy? Because of the conquest. He died and He rose again. He is worthy. We also recognize that He is able because He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. And we also recognize that He was worthy because He is willing. He was willing what? He was willing to redeem the world that was legally lost. And with His blood, He legally redeemed the lost planet. But when He begins to open these seals, there will be seven seals. And when He hits the seventh seal, there will be woes. When He hits the seventh seal, there will be the trumpet sounding. When He hits the seventh seal, there will be seven bowls of wrath that He will pour out on this earth. And then He will come again. What did He do with this book? And the only way I know to place this in context is to say, look at that person on your right or your left. If they are not going to be, one will be, possibly, maybe none in here, I hope. But if not, it will be His kinfolks. It will be your kinfolks. It will be your children. It will be your grandchildren. Yes, they will go through. And they will lose their life. He breaks the first seal. "And I saw when a lamb opened to me one of the seals, and heard as it were the noise of thunders, as one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer." Who is this one that is riding upon this white horse? Who is this one that is now coming to execute, and we will see the judgment? I want you to see an overview. I want you to see what's going to happen here. Let me give you a brief look at the seven seals. Let me say to you that when this was broken, that first of all, there's going to be deception because the one in whom this seal represents is the Antichrist. And he will come and he will lead by deception. Deception is going to be the earmark. He will be riding the white horse. It is not the white horse of Revelation chapter 19. It is the white horse because Satan comes along, and what Satan seeks to do, Satan seeks to imitate, to deceive, and with the deception, this one will come forth. The second seal will talk about division. Inside of that division, we will see the red horse will be that of war. And then we will follow it up with the dearth. Inside of the dearth, you will see a black horse. The black horse is going to be that of famine. And then we will see a pale horse, a choleric, a yellowish, the color of death. The fourth horse will be that of death. And we will address this morning. And then in the fifth seal will be broken. And you will see the disciples martyred, the tribulation saints. When this fifth seal is broken, you will see saints at the throne of Jesus who had been beheaded, and their blood was staining, or will stain the earth, and they will at the feet of Jesus cry out these words, "Yea, Lord, how long? How long?" And he will say, "Until the others have been killed." You will see the sixth seal as it will be broken. When the sixth seal is broken, you will see a cataclysmic event happen in this earth, that the world is going to be shaken. And you will see that this world will begin to crunch, and it will be like a convulsion. If you've seen somebody in the midst of a convulsion, you will see literally this earth, and it will begin to convulse. And when the seventh seal is broken, there will be seven trumpets that will sound. There will be three woes that will sound. There will be people facing the judgment of God Almighty, and no one will stand. Everyone will be broken. We read in Nahum the revenge, the wrath of God. You can say, "Wait a minute, that's then. What about now?" You're one heartbeat away from that. But you know, if you really traveled the source, if you really looked at what God gave us in an outline fashion, what would you see? You would see deception in this world. In the world in which we're living in right now, you would see deception. You would see false teachers teaching unsound doctrine that leads to division. And then when that division occurs, that division of sound doctrine will lead to conflict, and ultimately that will lead to war. And then you will see that war, that conflict of sound doctrine will lead to a famine of the Word, that people will die for lack of the Word. And when the famine of the Word comes, then the famine of the Word leads to death. And you will see when that death occurs that those who stand up for what is right, they will be martyred. The disciples, death to the believers because of the famine of the world. And then this world will become so corrupt even within itself, there will be a destruction that people will say life is not even worth living now. And then there will be a decree of justice. And inside of that decree of justice, ultimately, you will face God, and He will break you. How does it apply today? A man listens to another voice in opposition to the truth. He sins, and the sins produce conflict. The conflict, he stops reading God's Word. He stops praying. He stops listening to God. Spiritually, his heart becomes seared to the voice of truth that's calling out to him. He seeks to tear down those who stand for truth, those who love him and want to build him up. He seeks to tear it down, and then things in his life begin to break down all around him, and he says that life is not worth the living, and he faces God, and God breaks him. That's what we see. That's what happens even today. How does it work today? How does it work? Deception. A man takes a drink, a drug, a pornography. He listens to the voice of Satan and he says, everything's okay. You can do it my way. You can live your life without God. He listens to the voice of deception and then the vision occurs. Then the drink takes the man. He fights with his family. He fights with his employer. He fights with his family. And then all of a sudden, when the drink controls him, when the drug controls him, when the pornography controls him, then his mind becomes like a dearth to the voice of God. He cannot even hear God speaks, and he boasts and he says, I don't need God. He hides himself from God. He claims, I don't need God. And then the drink kills the truth. The drink kills the integrity. The drink kills the kindness, the goodness, and he leaves nothing but a shell of man. He is mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, this man is crushed. And then the drink carries him further. Those who want to help him, those who want to care about him, those who want to build him up, he isolates himself from them. He turns on them. Even so much, the drink takes his health, his job, his family, even his will to live. And the drink leads him to face God. And God breaks him. And he will be broken. Have you seen this? Absolutely. Yesterday I saw it in the eyes of Adam and Eve. Satan comes along to Adam and Eve and says, Adam, you won't surely die. So Adam leaves through deception of Satan. All of a sudden he's crushed. And when that happens, then all of a sudden Adam and Eve begins to fight among themselves. They look at each other and they say, we're ashamed of each other. The vision occurs, war in the family, the home begins to break down at that very first family. They look upon themselves and they say that we are naked and let's clothe ourselves with fig leaves. They looked upon themselves and all of a sudden when God starts walking in the dearth of the Word of God, God walks into the garden and says, Adam, where are you? And he says, I am hidden because I am naked. Adam, who told you that? Adam, have you eaten of the tree? Adam and Eve died spiritually that day. Ultimately, they died physically that day. Those who sought to love them, now all of a sudden the truth, the ones that want to care them, Adam and Eve are removed from the Garden of Eden. The disciples, those who wanted to help them so much, now they are separated from them. And then the destruction occurs because on behalf of Adam and Eve, on behalf of Adam's sin, all of a sudden the world is cursed. And the decree of justice, he is broken. He is broken. Adam faces God and he is broken. The deception. We looked upon it and we saw him. Who is this person? He is none other than Satan's Superman. He is none other than the Antichrist. He is none other than the one who leads on this right horse. And he's right on time. The Christians have been raptured. The countries are in disarray. Class wars are breaking out. This guy comes along, he has a bow in his hand, but if you notice, there's no power in that bow. So what does he do? He gains strength by deception. All of a sudden, this political leader rises up in the Middle East with all the conflict that's going on. And this political leader says, I have a way. If you will listen to me, I will bring forth peace. And the people listen. On his head, there's a crown. The crown there is a Stephanos, the Greek word Stephanos. This crown that he's wearing is like a leaf. It is a false crown. It is made up of leaves. It's like a diamond crown that's made up of glass and glued together. But he has a crown and the people are listening and they're falling at beneath him and they are following after him. But what is it going to happen? What is he going to do? All of a sudden we say, well, will the people follow him? Listen to what the Word of the Lord Jesus said. The Word of the Lord Jesus says, look, if I came in the name of another, you would have believed me. But because I am the Christ and I come in my name, you will not believe me. So what is the Lord Jesus telling us? The Lord Jesus says very plainly, another will come and you will follow him. you will follow him. Daniel chapter 8 verse 25 says, and through his policy also he shall cause the craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many, and he shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without a hand. The Antichrist will raise up his puny face unto the face of Christ, but he will be broken. And he takes the scroll. And he reads, and when he opened the second seal, and I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. What was happening here? The red horse is the sign of war. The red horse is the sign of division. And he was given power to wage war among the nation. And when it says murderous right here, kill right here, we're talking about class wars, racial wars, nationalistic wars, and religious wars. All of these are going to rise up, and all of these are going to be made manifest, and God is saying this is what's going to happen. The dark prince, what is he going to do? Well, the dark prince will bring out his sword, his makar. The word makar is a sword that was hidden within. This sword was taken out. This knife was taken out. And this knife was designed for two things. One, it was designed to cut the throat of a sacrifice or cut the throat of a man. There are religions in this world who carry the knife. And within their religious structure, their design, and their teaching is of hate. And they will bring forth the knife to cut forth the throat. Am I finding this in the Word? Yes. Will people follow them? Yes. Daniel chapter 9 verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. In other words, there is a dark prince that is coming, and he will be upon this earth. Have we seen him? Oh, yes. We've seen the dark prince. We saw him in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. We saw him when he goaded Cain to kill his brother Abel. We saw him when he invaded the minds of the children of Israel insomuch that they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years until every man 21 years of age and up died. We saw him when he entered in to Judas Iscariot. We see him as he creeps into the Sunday school curricula. We see him as he divides congregations. We see him as he forces and causes church splits. We see him as he forces missionary off the field to bring them home. We see him as the pulpits are becoming empty because many preachers want to follow the way of the world for more money and not the way of Christ. We see him. We see him. He attacks the educational system and he says, evolution's the way. And he attacks the emotional system and he says, abortion is the way. He attacks the mind and says, alcohol is the way. He attacks and says, drug is the way. He attacks and says, human is the way. He attacks and says, there are no absolutes. He attacks through infiltration. He attacks, and he even says in the country we live in, if you spank your child, you'll go to jail. He attacks. He attacks. He attacks. Children are being raised with no idea of what evil is. And they even doubt that it exists. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. There will be the dark prince. And when he comes, there will be civil war. Mark chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. Your own children. Division. The Antichrist comes on the scene. There's deception. The Antichrist leads, and there's war. When the men go to battle, when the women go to battle, primarily the men force, when the men go to battle and they're killed, who's going to raise the food for people to eat? How are people going to eat during the 7-year period? What are they going to do? War is raging. So what happens? There's famine. Famine always follows war. Meager crops, rationing of food. What do we find? What do you find? The seal is broken. And when he opened the second seal, and I heard the voice of the beast saying, come and see. And there went out a horse that was red, and the power that was given to him that sat upon the throne to take peace from the earth. They should kill one another. The sword was given. Oh. The third seal is that of the black horse. The third seal is that of famine. Should we say, if you think about it, how many people are here right now? Probably about 6.8 billion people is in the world today. If the rapture occurred today, that's what we'd be dealing with, and the numbers are going to grow. And what we're going to see here during this period of time, there's going to be famines like the world has never seen. The crop, the meager crops, are rationing of food. And what does he say in verse 5? He tells about verse 5, he says, and when he had opened the third seal, and I heard the beast say, come and see, and beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures for a barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil of the wine. What is he telling us here? He's saying, now a man will work all day for a quart of wheat. What does a quart of wheat produce? A quart of wheat produces enough bread to sustain one man for one day. Now, inside of that home, what do you have? Wife? Children? So what will be said? Which one of our children will go without food today? Will my wife go without food today? Will I sustain myself? You see, I've never known starvation like this. We are meeting up with people, and I'm learning that in our world there is starvation like this. But when this time comes, these words will ring out in our mind in Matthew chapter 24, verse 19, and say, woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Why? Because here's the child. And the child goes to the mother, and there's no milk. Malnutrition, the swelling of the children, the death that is occurring. Ray Stedman wrote these words. He said, what else could cause terrible shortages and create high prices so that people could not buy adequate food, amounts of food? It's inflation. Economics out of control, panic in the marketplace. During the days of the Weimar Republic in Germany after World War I, I remember as a boy hearing the accounts of people taking 10,000 German mark bills, loading them in a wheelbarrow, and taking them to buy a single loaf of bread. This is what runaway inflation does. It makes more money worthless. That in it becomes an excuse for the writ of controls over buying and selling that we find in chapter 13. And then we see the Antichrist coming in. And then we see the mark of the beast. What happens after this? The Antichrist with deception. War comes in. Then famine. And then the fourth horse. The fourth horseman comes along. And the fourth horse is a pale horse in Revelation 6:7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the beast saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and followed after him, and hell followed after or with him. And the power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. Can you imagine that? When the fourth horseman is released, let's put it in context. Everybody that's in North America will be killed by the sword, by death, by famine, and by pestilence. No, there's more than that. Everybody in Central America will be killed. No, there's more than that. Everybody in South America will be killed. If you killed every person, what would you do with those bodies? They would have to lay out. They would have to lay exposed. There's no burial for them. Nothing for them but the sun and the birds to eat the raw flesh that is there. Every person on in North America, Central America, South America, they are killed by this one horseman. And that's not all. Then all of a sudden we begin to let this thing said, this is for real. And you say, oh, how can it happen? It can happen with war, with famine, with disease. But did you notice it also said with the beast of the earth? Now, many times when we think about the beast of the earth, we're thinking about lions and tigers, and we're thinking about dogs with rabies. But let's get real. I read after one person, and he suggests that one of the beasts, the word beast means living one, means a living creature, is going to be that of rats. Can you imagine rats? Why rats? Well, think about it. Disease called by rats. The fleas of rats carried the bubonic plague, which destroyed one-third of the population of Europe in the 14th century. It is estimated that 200 million people in four centuries were killed by typhus in four centuries, and the disease was transmitted by rat fleas. Why rats? Gestation of rats, 65 to 100 days. The litter time, 6 to 12 per litter. And how many litters? Huh. Do the numbers. If he can have around 6 to 12 rats, he can have between 7 to 10 litters a year. Just do the numbers. One rat. Year 1, 12. One rat, 120. Year 2, 14,400. Year 3, 207,360,000. Year 4, 42 quadrillion rats produced if these rats live for 4 years. Can you see it? Can God do it? You can say, oh, I've never seen anything like that before. Oh, yes, you have. Do you remember reading in the plagues in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, when God said to the children of Israel, said to Moses, "Moses, send forth the frogs," and the frogs literally covered Egypt? And then there were literally lice that covered Egypt? Oh yes, we have seen that, and that is just one. And then if God said to every rat, "Fleas, y'all mount up, we got business to do." How quick could it happen? And oh, we say, oh, we don't believe in stuff like that. I know. I read after one woman who had a rat in her kitchen. And she says, let him eat. He deserves to live. He wouldn't survive my kitchen, folks. Okay, let's just get it down where the thing is. All of a sudden, it happens. And then when this begins to occur, the fifth seal is broken. Inside of the fifth seal, he says, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said of them, they should rest for a little season unto their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they were. It should be fulfilled. And why were they killed? Two reasons. One, the Word of God. Two, their testimony. How are they going to be killed? There's going to be the return of the guillotine or the Sakari knife, the Makra. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and worshiped not the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark on their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Did you notice they were beheaded? Why? Because of the rejection of the mark of the beast. But is this real to us today? Is this really real to us today? When you stand up for Christ, do you realize that your testimony is what is going to cause thousands of people? Because you see, when people reject Christ, that's what happens. They seek to kill and stamp out the truth. And when Antichrist comes on and when he has his super spies and he goes across this world and deception like never been known before with the mark of the beast, the implanting of some type of chip possibility, but we know that there is a mark of the beast, and if you don't have the mark of the beast, then you will not be able to buy nor sell, but you will literally die. But how will you basically die? They will catch you. They will behead you because of the word of God and the testimony. Is this happening today? Absolutely, people are dying today because of the word of God and because of their testimony for Jesus Christ. It's happening today. But yet, we don't feel it. We don't sense it. And only the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to be able to open up the eyes of heaven and of our heart to see and to sense that these things coming on. The sixth seal is broken. Natural convulsions occur. The convulsion of creation. In verse 12, and I beheld and opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree that casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken by the wind. What is happening? There is volcanic activity, that this world is going to be under a convulsion. San Francisco ain't seen nothing yet compared to what's going to happen. The volcanic ashes, the colors that even comes and look and makes the blood look like it's blood red. And then all of a sudden the stars falling out from heaven. Asteroids. Break it. Hey, look, this is not far-fetched stuff. One asteroid hit in Siberia. And it covered about 800 acres. One asteroid. One rock. One asteroid came about 335,000 miles away from us just a few years ago. And all God would have had to say was, blown that asteroid a little bit, and it would have come through the force It would have come through our atmosphere and it would have destroyed worse than a dozen atomic bombs. Oh, yes, it will. And the stars out of heaven fell, and the volcanic activities occurred. And then verse 14, and the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain, every island were moved from their places. Have you not seen an atomic blast? And what does an atomic blast do? When it goes off, it pushes out, and then it sucks back in with massive destruction. And we see that activity. Insomuch that the kings and the priests, the kings of the earth, and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bound man and every free man hid themselves in the den and from the rocks of the mountains. And he said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? What is that? These men who have turned their back on God and now in all the calamities, and rather than crying out to the God, the Father, they cry out to the creation, the rock, and said, hide us. Insomuch that they are suicidal and they have their death wishes. The seventh seal is broken in Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. And I'll just read the first verse. First two verses. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Seven trumpets. What shall we say? If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we say? The clock is ticking. But do we really believe it? This, you know, what I've told you this morning sounds too far-fetched. It's too big. You can't get your arms around it. Sounds like a fiction story. Sounds like a Stephen King book. It just sounds so eerie. But this is the Word of God. But do we believe it? Sometimes I feel like we're just shooting blanks. There was this youth guy down in Florida, just a few years ago. He had this audience, hundreds of young people out there, and he was telling them about the way of Christ. And he's saying, look, if you don't follow the way of Christ, if you do this, this, and the other, then all you're doing is playing Russian roulette. So he puts a blank in a pistol. He spins it. He puts the gun to his head. And he pulls the trigger, and it goes click, and he makes the next point, and he pulls the trigger, and it goes click, till finally he reached the chamber with the blank in there, and he pulls the trigger, and boom! And he falls down to the ground, and all the kids and all in there, they go wild. They say, that's just part of the act. But he didn't get up. The compression from that blank in that high-powered pistol took his life. I'm afraid that many of us have put blanks in our guns and we can say nothing can happen to us. It's not real. It's going to happen, but it won't be us. And then it fires. And then it's over. As I was driving this morning, I saw my neighbor mowing his grass. And I saw just driving on. And I said, Lord, is it going to be a day like this? And he said, yes. It's going to be a day like today. The clock's ticking. It's ticking. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that today, Lord, with the clock ticking, that people can make it right with Jesus. That today, Lord, they can be saved. And I thank you, Lord, that today we can tell somebody, please, 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 listen to Jesus. Father, when I think about it could be my grandchildren that's going to go through this time. Maybe one of my children. One of my relatives. One of my friends. Breaks my heart, God. Please, God. Please, God, save them. Please. Help us not to play with empty chambers. It's not a game. This is life. Lord, it's been a very hard message this morning. My heart's broken, Lord, to think about what's going to happen to this earth, the people, the magnitude of the avenging hand of the nature of God who loves us so much. Father, let not one leave today. Let not one pull the trigger and say, I'll wait till tomorrow. Oh, they may be a blank, but it might not. Please, God. In Jesus' name, amen. We share with you this morning the opportunity to come to Christ. Please. That's all I can say. Please. Please come to Christ. If you don't know, nail it down this morning. If you do know, thank God. And then think about somebody else that needs to know Him. Please. For we've not read you a fiction book this morning. We have read you the Word of God. And it is going to happen. Maybe today. Such a day as it is. Prayer altars are open. Decisions need to be made. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus, I'd like to talk to you. What's your need? What's your heart? Today, let's stand. Sing.